Hey, everybody. Welcome. Blessing and peace on you in the mighty name of King Jesus. Guys, today we're going to have Susan Cheatham on here, and I'll tell you about all that in a minute because we are in the month of Elul. She has a prophetic book, Unlock Your Inheritance. That's what's in there, Unlock Your Inheritance, A Call to the Beloved, a 40-day devotional by Miss Susan Cheatham, my very good friend. If you knew her, you would really, really, really like her. She and her husband are good people and big-time ranch people. You know, everybody knows her as the worship leader for Patricia King. But man, her husband's like big time ranching guy. And I went out, took him out the other day. I took him out to my little ranch out in West Texas, which I thought was a big deal. Just want to just tell you, hey man, I got like 800 acres out here. It's like, oh really? I said, yeah. He says, mine's, what was yours? Your first was 65,000 acres? Yeah, I don't want to talk about it anymore. So yeah, he's just like, yeah. What a nice ranch you have. Yeah, it's huge, Troy. Mine's 65,000. Yours is 800. Mine's, anyway, it is the month of Elul, right? So, one of the guys that does all of our stuff here, all of our media, it's a guy by the name of Hunter. And he's got these four Hebrew letters written across his knuckles as a tattoo. And it's Elul, okay? And Elul stands for also the acronym for I am my beloved's and my beloved is mine. That's what that stands for. And he got that. Like one time my wedding ring broke. And so while I was getting it fixed, I mean, I've had this for a long time. And while I was getting it fixed, I wore just a traditional Hebrew, wedding ring, messianic thing. And it says, I am my beloved and my beloved is mine in the Elul thing. And what that means is in the month of Elul, which is the last month before the Feast of Trumpets and the religious New Year start, which I don't know if you know this or not, but our Hebrew friends love to complicate things. I mean, they can't just have one New Year. They have to have two. No, wait, they don't have two. They have to have three. No, wait, they don't have three. They have four. They have four that I know about. Now, there might be 5 or 25, I don't know, but my head started exploding at 4 New Year's that are different dates. Like, why would you do that? Because there's actually a reason to do that. You know, there's the kind of New Year that was before they were carried off to Babylon and the kind of New Year that happened after they were carried off to Babylon. And the Lord uses both of those things. Like what? Well, you said there was 3 and 4. Yeah, and let me tell you, one of the New Year's has to do with trees. Like, what? No. Look, we have Arbor Day here, right? But they actually have a new year that you give fruit bearing to the Lord and you pay attention to that cycle. Our Hebrew brothers and sisters are hardcore about paying attention to prophetic cycles and the timing of things matter. Here on this side of the world, we tend to make up our own timing and just say, hey, I choose to serve the Lord like this on this day, this way, that month, or whatever. I enjoy that freedom. I'm a Westerner. I'm all about it. But you need to know that that's not how you do things with the Eastern mindset. One of the things that Leanna and I were just now talking about this, Leanna and Susan and Roger and I, we were all talking about, okay, you have to, whenever you interpret scripture, you have to actually interpret it. Okay, who wrote it? Who's it written to? There's a bunch of things. The time period, okay, was it before Jesus, after Jesus, all that kind of stuff. But you also have to take into account what was in the mind of the person that was writing that as far as how they viewed the world during their time and what was in the mind of the person who was reading that at that time as far as how they viewed the world at this time. And we were actually having this huge discussion because it's this crazy thing. I mean, if you look up like Yael or Jael, however it is that you pronounce that, that woman in the Bible who actually defeated an evil king and caused Israel to come out of a certain form of slavery, and she did it with a tent peg. A lot of commentators call her an evil, manipulative woman. Okay, they call her that. Well, like, why? Why would they do that? Because of the mindset that they are in when they read it, not the mindset of the people who read it thousands of years ago. Okay. And you have to consider that. I listen to Michael Heisner a lot. I don't know if you guys know who Michael Heisner is, but I listen to him a whole bunch. And one of the things he talks about is the book of Jude. And he's like, if you asked him, hey man, do you think that Jude ought to be in the Bible? He's like, no, I respect what's been canonized and I don't think it's in there, but you do need to know this. The people who wrote the Bible really respected that book in a really big way. And it's a weirdo book. It's a very strange book, but it's quoted in the Bible over and over and over again. Like, why? Because the guys who wrote the Bible, that had huge influence on them. It'd be a lot like if you're going back and reading the letters of Troy Brewer from 2,000 years in the future, and if I kept saying I'm your Huckleberry, that would mean I'm a big fan of the movie Tombstone. And you could just tell, dude, Troy was a big fan of the movie Tombstone because he mentioned, why, Ike, whatever do you mean? Whenever somebody asked him, so that's how he answered his hate mail. Or if he said, I don't know, why, Kate, you're not wearing a bustle. I don't know why I would say that. Or if you, whatever it is, you would say, dude, or like today I quoted, yeah, you tell him I'm coming and heaven's coming with me. I'm quoting Wyatt Earp in Tombstone. So you tell him I'm coming and hell's coming with me. But I don't say hell's coming with me. I say heaven's coming with me, right? Okay, if you knew that, or if in the future, like he says these really weird things, and I don't know why he says that, you go, oh, because he was really into the movie Tombstone. Just exactly like that. Michael Heisner is like, the writers of the Bible were really into the book of Enoch. Okay, and again, it's quoted all the way through there. Okay, so what's the point of that? The point is you have to consider what was in the minds of the people who wrote the Bible. What were the things that influenced them? And what were the things that influenced the people who were receiving it? So if Peter didn't think you knew the book of Enoch, I wouldn't say something to you like, I'm your Huckleberry, unless I thought you knew the book of Tombstone. Okay. Or if I, you know, hey, Troy, how you doing? I'm right as the mail. Okay. What is it? That's a quote from Tombstone, right? Okay. I'm going to say those things if I think you know that. Okay. Just exactly like that. Like when Peter wrote his book, he talks about these angels who left their first estate was cast in everlasting chains of darkness. What? Where's that at in the Bible? It ain't in the Bible. It's in the book of Enoch. And he knew that people knew the book of Enoch, and he just references that, right? The book of Jude, whenever he's talking about, oh, you know, whenever the devil was fighting Gabriel over the body of Moses, like, where's that at in the Bible? It's not in the Bible. It's in the book of Enoch. And you can go on and on and on. You have to consider when you interpret the word of God, you have to consider what was important to the people at the time that it was written. And if it's not important to you, you have to care more about what is written than what is in your personal that is in your modern day culture. And that's a big decision to make. So one of the things that I have decided is that in viewing the Feast of the Lord, everybody all the way up until Revelation chapter 21 considered the Feast of the Lord something that all godly people did. Not just because it was a Jewish thing, but because it was actually a kingdom thing. And as a matter of fact, what you find out is in certain books of the Bible, in the Old Testament, and in referring to the second coming of Christ and the millennial reign, that Jesus Christ requires the entire world during the millennial reign of the Messiah to keep the feasts. Like, if Jesus threw it out the window, and if that was just a Jewish thing, why would he require the whole world to do that? Because it's not a Jewish thing. It's a kingdom thing. And the Jews are the stewards of the kingdom thing. Booyah! All right. Guys, joining me here today is somebody to help me talk about all of that. I can see that she's online, and I'm about to bring her up right now. Guys, this is my good friend. Let me go here. Miss Susan Cheatham. Boom. Hello, Susan.
Hey, what's going on?
What's going on, man? How are you?
I'm good. I am good and ready to go. You got an awesome team here. You truly do. They are awesome.
I'm better because I pay them big money. I'm talking about ridiculous money. And yeah, they're like, yeah, it's ridiculous. All right. But I don't think they mean ridiculous the same as I do. Anyway, man, I call you blessed, Susan. Thank you so much, man, for joining me today.
Oh, thank you. I love being on with you. You make it so fun and it's easy with you.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much. Well, hey, man, we're going to be talking about the feast today. And you're somebody that knows something about the feast, right? Susan, can I get you to move your microphone just a little bit closer to you, sweetie? Can you move your microphone just a little bit closer
to it?
Okay. You can do that,
How's that
too.
Better?
I think it's okay, unless you're out of focus. So those guys will
have to focus. Yeah, he just got done focusing me. So do you want me to... here we go. He's like, come home.
Thank you. Okay. Thank you so much. Okay, man. There we go. So we're talking about the feast. Yeah. Do you think that the feast is something, how can the feast be relative to us? I mean, you grew up in Arizona or California. Where'd you grow up at?
I grew up in California, actually. Yeah.
Okay. So you grew up and you're like a desert girl, right?
Yes. Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
Okay. How in the world could keeping the feast, the biblical feast, have anything to do with you? How does that work?
Oh, it has all to do with us. All to do with us. I mean, Jesus, because of Jesus, it's all because of him. And because of he shed his blood on the cross, we get the privilege of being grafted in. And, and it's such a, I tell you, I didn't have when I was even in my younger Christian days, I had no idea about the feast, none of that, until one of my pastors on a Wednesday night introduced it to us, Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. I'm like, what's all this? And he would just do a little bit at a time. And then I just latched on, like, there's something on that. God is breathing on the feast. He's breathing on, in the prophetic months. It's just, it's such an amazing concept. But growing up in the desert, I had no idea how it applied. But now I do. Now I do. I have pressed in and done my study. And you brought up Leviticus 23:1-2, where it's they're not Jewish feasts. They're God's feasts. It's where he tells Moses, hey, tell my people, these are my feasts, basically. So anyway, I love them.
So his feast, right? His appointed times, his Moedim.
His appointed times.
Mm-hmm. Right. So at certain times, like, okay, I've appointed. In other words, it's going to be on your calendar. You have an appointment with me. It's kind of like date night, right?
Yeah, so absolutely.
If it's kind of like, all right, so if I tell Leanna, okay, hey, man, do you want to have date night on such and such night? It says, yeah, okay, I do. All right, we'll go to some nice restaurant. We'll hang out. We'll go party, whatever. She's like, okay, let's go. Okay, I put that on my calendar, and I have to make that special.
Yes.
I can't just say, oh, that's really no big deal. No. It's date night with my bride. So I'm going to meet her at a certain place at a certain time for the two of us, because we love each other in a very special way. And we might have that. Another way to put it might also be to say, we have a certain date every single year that we make very, very special to us. Well, that's an appointed time. And just exactly like that, the Lord gave us these Moedims, or these feasts of the Lord, or these appointed times, just like that.
They truly, truly are. And what I say is, it's for this instance, the month of Elul, the king is in the field. He's closer. He comes closer. He comes into your field, right? And well, God's with us 24/7. But an appointed time, I always say it's multiplied. It's like multiplied or magnified. Just a magnified. I mean, he's just... And just so touchable, so approachable in such an amazing way, I'll just go with this. The king is in the field, every year back in the day, the king would come into the field. You would have to have a protocol to go see him back in the day. Protocol, you'd have to learn behavior, dress just so. But when he came into your field, it's you have total access to him. Total access. You didn't have to worry about protocol. You didn't have to worry about, will he accept me? No, he's there. He's there. And we are that. And there's a scripture. I can't remember what it is right now, but it talks about what is our field. What is our field? Our field is our home. Our field is our work, our car, our field is our lives. So he is coming in a major way in this season in our lives. It's so huge. If we can just get a hold of the concept of this appointed time, it's absolutely amazing. Absolutely amazing. And the access that we have, come on, it's such an access. You know, we can, it's a time of seeking. It's a stock taking time. You know, he's looking on the inside. How are we stewarding, you know, our time, our talent, our treasure? I mean, there's so much to this month. It's just because we're getting ready to go into Yom Kippur in this month. Okay. So, yeah.
So you know what it reminds me of? So, hey man, do you remember in the 1970s, there's the movie, The Godfather, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yes.
And it starts off with Don Corleone. It's his daughter's wedding, and he can't refuse anybody that wants to see him on the day of his daughter's wedding. So the movie starts off with all these guys who have never had access to the Godfather. They have access to him on that day, and that's how the movie starts off. I know that sounds silly. That sounds silly to me, but the first time I heard the king is in the field. The first time I heard that and understood what Elul was about, I went, that's what it's about. I don't have to actually be part of the king's court, though I am.
Right.
But I don't have to be a part of the king's court to have access to the king on his throne during this time. It's just the fact that he is involved in my everyday life.
Yes.
He's in the field.
Yep.
Now, look, he's always involved in my everyday life, but it's heightened during the month of Elul because he uses that. He says, hey, man, I'm going to be involved in your field, your house, your finances, your marriage, the everyday things of your life in a much heightened way. And are you making a big deal out of that? Or are you just going about business as usual? That's what it means to keep the feast, because we've been invited into it. That's the way that I see it.
Yes, it is an invitation. It is an invitation. And are we good? Because it's a call to the beloved, because Elul is an acronym for I am my beloved's and my beloved is mine. And that is why. And so you talked about earlier, we're going to talk about the shofar. Well, the shofar is the sound, is the call to the beloved. There's so much more in this month to the shofar, but we are answering the call to our beloved. In this month, it's just an absolutely amazing time. And it's prophetic. It's just, these months are prophetic, because if you tap in, you know what season you're in. You can partner with God and how he's moving in the earth. It's just absolutely amazing how God has ordained this time. It's an ordained time that we have with him in that access. I'm telling you, so good. Pastor Troy.
We had the first of Elul. Mm-hmm. And on the first of Elul, you have, there's 40 days. Okay, there's 30 days from the first of Elul to the Feast of Trumpets. And then there's 10 days from the Feast of Trumpets or Rosh Hashanah to Yom Kippur. Am I right on that? Yeah. I think I'm right
Correct.
On that.
Yes, okay. You are.
So that means 40 days. That literally means you have 40 days to get your act together, to be set up for the rest of the year. And
that's
40 means a time of testing. It means, you know, 40 years in the wilderness, right? Jesus was 40 days in the wilderness.
Yep.
There's all kinds of 40s in the Word of God that means, hey, there's a lot on the line during this time, and you got to get certain things right. This is a time for you and I to declare, the Lord is in my field. And also, it is also a time, like you said, to answer the call of the beloved. So what is that?
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
So again, I'm going to keep using my marriage as an understanding of our walk with God. I do this all the time.
It's good.
If Leanna comes and sits down beside me, let me say this. If Leanna walks to the room and she's all decked out and she stops and then she comes over and sits down beside me and go, hey, and I go, leave me alone. Okay, that's a slap in the face.
That's not good.
I just got all decked out. And by the way, that doesn't happen in my house. Now, I'm a knucklehead boy, and I have to be trained like all boys do, okay? But she's trained me well. Excuse me, Leanna will literally say this. I just walked past you, and you didn't even look. And I'll be like, well, I was looking at this, you know, my God, and all that. She's like, no, I went out of my way and went around the couch so that I could say something to you or whatever, and you totally missed it. Don't be stupid. You're missing it. So I'm going to give you another chance. And I'll say, please give me another chance. Mm-hmm. And she'll be like, what? And then she'll go, what? And I'll say, my God, I wish I could paint that vision on the Great Wall of China. Or I'll say something stupid. Like, did I do it? She's like, yes. But we do that because we've done so much marriage counseling. We get it that we're clueless in how to help each other do that unless we're intentional in helping each other do that. Okay. And we've learned that through doing so much marriage counseling.
So good.
If Anna gets decked out and if I don't say anything, she'll tell me, instead of being mad for a week, she'll say, okay, here's the deal. I've been decked out for an hour and I've been hanging around you. You haven't said anything nice to me about that yet. And you better fix that. And I'll go, okay. Okay, let me fix that because this is going to go bad if I don't. She says, yeah.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. So bring it. So she's learned and she's mature enough to give me a chance because she knows I'm a boy and she knows I'm clueless. All right. Yeah. Now that we've got that, but then I have to respond to that. If your beloved shows up, if Jesus shows up and he says, I'm in your field and I want to spend time with you and I want this to be special. And you go, dude, the Simpsons are on. Poker night with my buddies.
Wrong. Sorry, schedule.
Okay, that's a slap in the face to the King of Kings and to the Lord of Lords. That's what Elul is all about to me.
It's not good. It is not good. No, we're answering that call. And it's the sound. It's, you know, and that is that it's an awakening. It's like she's calling you, hey, babe, wake up. I'm in the room.
Yeah,
you know,
that's right.
And I'm looking good in the room.
Right.
So she has to release her voice, her sound to let you know that, hey, you better recognize, you know, and you do. And so that's what we're doing. We are recognizing that our King, King Jesus, is totally accessible, is an open heaven. And, you know, we can just come into his presence and just love on him. We can talk to him in a way like, I don't know, if you're learning how to be intimate, because sometimes people don't know how to be intimate with Jesus. This is the time where we can just, okay, Jesus, you're in my field. Teach me how to be intimate with you. Know me, Jesus.
Yes.
This is the time, and he will direct you. He will show you. He's so good like that. It's so good. It's so good. I love this season. I love this season because we just, you know, came out of a rough season, you know, of, which is a rough time. But if only the children of Israel knew they were going to go into the next month. I mean, actually, they did know. They forget. How we forget, right? How we forget who God is, what he's done for us. And then we walk in unbelief. But so this is a time that we can make it right. This is a time. It's a stock-taking time. It's a time we look inside our heart, just like I said. And God's watching. God is watching how we steward. And so we can get realigned if we come out of alignment in any area of our life. That's this time. That's
okay,
this
so
time.
Whenever like Jonah, you know, he got all mad, God Almighty sent a whale and he got mad, then God Almighty sent a little worm and got mad, right? You know, which I love the contrast between that, right?
Right.
But then he said, get up there and prophesy. And he said, all right, I got a word. And he got up there and he said, 40 days and you're all toast. All right. That was on the first of Elul.
Mm-hmm.
Because 40 days from there was going to be Yom Kippur. And he said, you got 40 days. And God's going to wipe you out. You know what they did? They got intimate with the Lord, and God Almighty changed his whole plan.
And he's got ticked off, too.
Yeah, exactly right.
Yeah.
So that's the opportunity that we have right now is to turn and just say, man, the Lord is in our field, and we need to make a big deal out of this. And we have an opportunity. I don't want to miss my opportunity. It's going to take a whole year before I can be back in alignment with God's intention for this moment.
It's absolutely. Well, you said they turn, and this month is the Teshuvah, the turning, returning to the Lord. Okay. Just, and it makes me think of the prodigal son. It's in my book. We talk about the prodigal son and how his father was watching for him, waiting for him, wanting him to come home. And he finally got a clue of like, hey, you know, everything I need is with my father. And so that's the teshuvah. They're returning unto the Lord. I mean, so good stuff. Yeah, it truly, truly is. We're just answering the call.
So in your book, Unlocking Your Inheritance, A Call to the Beloved.
Right.
One of the things that you talk about is the sound of the call, and the prophetic picture of that is the sound of the shofar, right?
Yes, sir.
Now, Aaron Jacobs, who is on here, he gets on everybody's nerves by walking. He's one of those weirdo shofar people, okay? He goes around everywhere he goes. And I actually love that. I love that with all my heart because I know that at that prophetic sound, things change. Yep. I also know that heaven responds, and it's also the proper response as well. I know that Jesus is coming back with a mighty shout and a trumpet blast when the first is last. Actually, when the last is first and the first is last. That's from an old Charlie Daniels song, by the way. And you come back and it's like, that's what he's doing. Okay, so this is actually a devotional for this time of year.
Yes.
During this time right now. And if I turn, if I go to day three or Elul three, right?
Yep.
If I'm going right here.
Elul
today,
three,
your devotion is on, it's actually a two-part devotion that carries over into tomorrow. But part one is why blow the shofar? Why would I do that? Mm-hmm. So I'm just going to just hit on a couple of these and then ask you to talk to them. It says, okay, the Bible teaches that the shofar is a trumpet of God. It was the first musical instrument created. The blowing of the shofar continues to serve important biblical purposes, including a call to worship, the sound of war or battle, announcing the coronation of the king. Oh, that's big to me. Announcing the new moon, which is a big deal, a brand new prophetic month, a brand new time, or also to announcing the fall feast season of Elul, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, or the Feast of Tabernacles.
Right.
Talk to me about that.
Right. Oh my gosh. It's huge. It's all of this and above. I mean, a call to worship. He's in our field. What are we going to do? We're going to worship him because he's in all his glory.
Yep.
And then the sound of war and battle. Okay, what did the tribe of Judah? The tribe of Judah always used the shofar to go into battle. And what does Judah praise? And, and then you go into announcing the new moon. Well, we just celebrated one this past Sunday, moving into Elul, and they do it every new prophetic month. And they'll do it again and again. But in this season, it's announcing the fall feast. It's announcing the season of Elul, Rosh Hashanah, Feast of Tabernacles. And it's an awake. Okay, wake up, people. Come on. Because here's the deal. These feasts have not been fulfilled yet. They have not been fulfilled yet. I mean, think about it.
They haven't been fulfilled yet? Tell me.
Passover has been fulfilled. Pentecost has been fulfilled.
Wait, when was Passover fulfilled? When was it fulfilled?
What do you mean? What?
When was it fulfilled?
Oh, like Jesus. Yeah. Jesus fulfilled that.
And when did he?
And then Pentecost.
He fulfilled it on the cross. That happened on Passover. Right. And he fulfilled that at the cross. And then what else?
Then you got your Pentecost. Feast of Pentecost.
Okay. Right
that
on.
Came, you know.
Right on. What else?
Acts 2.
There's actually
The feast. Go ahead. You go.
No, I'm gonna let you talk. I'm sorry.
No worries. I was just saying that the Feast of Unleavened Bread too. I mean, they've been fulfilled.
Yes.
So what were you gonna say?
Well, so there's actually three left. So there's been four that have been fulfilled. So Jesus fulfilled four during his first coming. He's fulfilling the final three in his last coming. He's fulfilling the Feast of Trumpets whenever he comes back, right?
Yes.
And then he is fulfilling the Feast of Tabernacles how does he fulfill the Feast of Tabernacles? It says, go ahead.
No, you go. I'm sorry. I want to hear what you have to say.
What I have to say is that it says, I saw the New Jerusalem touching down and now it shall be said, God has tabernacled with men. Okay, so it's literally whenever you see the whole New Jerusalem coming down and everybody rules and everybody sees that Jesus Christ is ruling and reigning out of Jerusalem. And then Yom Kippur, our judgment day, is going to be fulfilled at the great white throne judgment. That's what I think.
Yep. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And if you don't know, and here's the deal, in Hosea it says, my people perish for lack of knowledge. We need to know the times and the seasons of the Lord. Absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, here's on the back of my book, it says, it talks about that because we need to know that we have legally been adopted into Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, right? Through Jesus. And every single provision of our family, they're our family, is available to us right now. And it's our portion, our legal right to inherit it. And that's what we're talking about. And knowing what our inheritance is, knowing, you know, what happened on Passover, Pentecost, and the feasts. And, you know, I did a devotion that one's a 50-day devotion from Passover to Pentecost. And they're all designed to keep us on track, to keep us focused, to keep us fixed. And in this year, I don't know about you, Pastor Troy, but this year, Yom Kippur, just saying, is a big deal. Is a big deal. That we need to be, our heart, I mean, not perfect, but our heart needs to be renewed. And I talk about that in the book. And repentance is a good thing. Because when we repent, what happens? Times of refreshing come. So it's just an amazing season that we can tune in, return to him and celebrate what he has done and what he's going to do. And these are so prophetic. It's a prophetic time. So prophetic.
Man, yeah. Susan, there are people that are watching all over the world, and we're actually going to have I'm going to blow a shofar here in a minute. We're actually going to do that. And we'll go through, right, hey, these are you have a declaration and your third, yes, day of the Lul that we're, yes, declaring that at the blowing of the shofar, this is going to happen. That's going to happen. That's going to happen. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So, hey, listen, let's get ready to finish this up.
Okay.
So walk us through what you believe is going to happen whenever we do this shofar blast, and tell me about that.
Okay, well, when we blow the shofar, I just sound the shofar. And on a side note, I do have a tribe page. It's called Unlock Your Inheritance Tribe, and it's on Facebook. And I come on every day and I walk with you through this book. And not only do we touch on this, what's on the pages, but then prophetically, we just move out. But we blow the shofar and then we decree. There's decrees every day that we, and you can, you know what, these are written where you can decree them every day of the year because they're from the Bible, you know, they're not just good, like, you know, I'm going to get a Cadillac, what about the shofar? No. And what happens is we, that day we pull from what we've read and we decree from it. And that's what we're going to do now. So when Pastor Troy blows the shofar, then I will start decreeing from the book. Does that sound good?
Okay, so I'm going to blow it, and then you're going to make a decree.
Yeah, I can do, you can blow it, and then I can
do it. And then I'll blow it again, and then you make the next decree.
Or how does that work? Oh, that's awesome. Okay.
Do you want to do that?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because you have like 10 declarations on here, right?
I do.
Okay. And again, your book lines up why you say all these things at this declaration,
yes,
right?
Yes.
So if you guys if any of you guys watching this already have your book, and your book is Unlock Your Inheritance, A Call to the Beloved, a 40-day devotional by Susan Cheadle. That's what it says. My cool radio voice. All right. And we're on page 29, and this is Elul. I'm fixing to do this, and I'm going to blow it. Then you'll be like, I declare in Jesus' name or whatever that sounds like to you. Okay. Okay. Are you ready, ma'am?
I'm ready. I'm ready, dude.
Okay, I'm ready.
I'm very excited. Wait,
let me turn this thing up. Let me do this thing right. Let me get this going. Hang on. Blah, 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 blah. I just got through eating chicken. It'd be like feathers come out the other end of this thing. Okay, here we go. Do it.
I will awaken out of sleep to check my soul as I hear the shofar in Jesus' name. The revelation light of the Holy Spirit will reveal what's hidden in darkness in Jesus' name. I will arise and be cleansed of sin through the blood of Jesus and receive his mercy and grace in Jesus' name. I am being refreshed in my mind with joy and peace. I walk in hope in Jesus' name.
Do it. Here we go.
So good. I will awaken to knowledge, holiness, and comfort in Jesus' name. I will arise and return unto good works, to love, preferring one another. I will show respect, honor, and kindness in Jesus' name.
Whoa, Matt, I'm digging that. Do you, how many more of these are there? Or we have one more, two more?
We've got four.
Oh, okay, here we go.
Oh, no, we have four. I will not sleep, but awaken to be sober, mindful, and watchful of the darkness all around me in Jesus' name. I will tell those who walk in darkness of the good news about the love of Jesus in Jesus' name.
Do it.
As I hear the sound of the shofar, I will check my heart and repent and remember my Creator God in Jesus' name. Last one.
Okay, last one.
One more. I will awaken and take off my grave clothes. No matter how bad it looks, things can shift in a moment in Jesus' name.
Yay!
So good.
Come on.
So good.
That's what I'm saying, sister. I'm fighting an asthma attack right now. Man, you got to be in shape to blow the ocean.
Right. Listen, in your face.
I am so grateful that you joined us today. And again, everybody needs to know that you have a Facebook where you're on there every single day, like today, talking about the third day of Elul, making these declarations, whatever weirdness that you get off into, which I'm all for.
I do.
And then you're going to do it again tomorrow. I want to encourage everybody. How do they find you on Facebook? How do they do that?
Well, my Facebook page is Unlock Your Inheritance Tribe, and you got to have a book to get in. That's one thing. You got it. So let me know. Message me. Hey, I got your book, and I will let you in. And my personal page is Susan Mimi Cheatham. And I do some. I kind of go back and forth, but I'll do a couple of them on Facebook Live on my personal page as well. Yeah.
Unlock Your Inheritance, right? Is the book.
Yep.
And where can people find Unlock Your Inheritance? Where can they find that at?
They can get it on my website, scmfire.org. That's Susan Cheatham Ministries, fire, you know, scmfire.org. Yep, you can get it there.
scmfire.org. Okay, guys.
Yes, sir.
Be looking for this really cool book. Hey, this has been so much fun. Thank you so much for joining me today, Susan. Hey, listen, hey man, you're so welcome. By the way, you are a part of the prophetic life, right? You're on all the time.
I see you on. I love
there.
It. And I've grown so much.
Have you? No.
Yes, I
don't
have.
Know. I don't know if I've helped you at all, but I do know that you do steal my sermons every now and then. I watch you and you're stealing my stuff. Whatever.
You
I steal your
me,
stuff.
Huh?
Oh, I dang. Steal your stuff. I steal your stuff all the time.
Hey, I'll tell you what. I tell you, I tell people about your church, your books, because it mentored me. When I found you like 3 years ago and I got your book, I was studying the numbers and boom, there you came. And I just started pointing, I'm like, that's why I got you on my show. Remember what, I don't even know, had you on my show. And I'm like, you need to be heard. Your voice, your word needs to be heard. Anyway.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Well, thank you for loving me and thank you for being my friend. Thank you for being my bride's friend. Thank you for sharing your hubby with me. I sure do love him. And we've had a lot of fun this week. And I call you Bless My Friend. I've got it up here on the screen, scmfire.org. God bless you so much, Susan. Hey, listen, I'm going to let you guys switch out and let you switch out with Pastor AJ. So you're good to go. And that's fine. And I'm going to let Pastor AJ join us now. That was the amazing Susan Cheatham. Susan Cheatham, guys, Susan Cheatham Ministries, SCM, right, fire.org. And I want to tell you what, she is a little spitfire. She, I promise you, she is. And she's always wound up. She's always full of joy. She's always full of the Holy Spirit. She's ready to let's go, let's go, let's go, let's go. Any of you guys, all you guys that have churches out here throughout the United States, you're looking for somebody to show up. If she can check with her probation officer and see if she can make it out to your next church event or something like that. It'd be very, very helpful. Pastor AJ, you're here with me, my friend. How are you, man?
What's going on, PT?
Hey, isn't she cool?
Dude, that was awesome. But you know what was my favorite part about it all?
Tell me. I know.
Your face every time you blew that shofar, bro. It was like, you were like super happy, bro.
Any chance I get to act like an idiot, I will probably do it. And it's something my staff really tries to help me with, as you very well know, because we have to do such serious stuff. And I would just much rather be involved in a cartoon. You know, I would much rather my life to be a cartoon, actually, than to just be involved in such serious stuff. And so anyway, that's a lot of fun to me. Thank you.
Dude, that was so much fun. And it looked fun, but I just love the way you were just having fun with it, bro. It was like, and then like, oh my God.
Dude, I'm funny. I keep telling people I'm funny and nobody believes me. I'm the only person in the world that thinks I'm funny.
We should do a Christian stand-up bit, bro. We would kill that. Look at Troy, look at Troy.
Well, you know I'm in, man. You know that I'm in.
Oh,
well,
man.
That was, Susan, and I don't know, Susan, I don't know what part of the world you're writing from. Oh, it actually, he just says, you know what? That was PT's Take That Devil Face. Amen. That's good. Take that devil. Right on. Yeah, a lot of people are trying to convince me they're funny as well. Cheryl says, what's funny are those glasses. Okay, don't quit your day job when it comes to being a comedian, Cheryl. We bless you. I'm getting her off of there. Aaron, they're making fun of both of our glasses. Listen, these glasses match my shirt, okay? These glasses match my shirt. I'm trying to match today. No, I told everybody I steal Leanna's glasses, and I don't care who knows it, man. I don't know what to tell you. All right.
I love those glasses, okay.
Thank you. Oh, by the way, she's from Des Moines, Iowa. Hello, Suzanne. Call you blessed, man. Thank you so much for joining us, Suzanne. You're so good. Yeah, but really, so look, Paul Phillips, like, whose glasses are they anyway? None of your business. I already told you. It's actually Leanna's. Oh, see, listen, Gene Dillon says, you rock those glasses. I have similar ones on today. Dude, you're a woman. We're not supposed to have the same glasses on. Look at all these people making fun of me. What is that all about? Oh my God. Thank you. Thank you so much.
This has taken a turn for the worse, man. Yes.
Well, guys, honestly, hey, listen, I want you guys to plug in to Susan Cheatham's ministry. I want you guys to go there. I want you to check it out. If you don't have that book, order that. And then again, she has her own Facebook page just for people who have that book to go through that book with her. I love that. I wish I had time to do that. That's a good idea. Honestly, that's a brilliant idea. Hey, I know she's still in the room with you, AJ.
Yeah,
hey,
me.
Ask her. Hey, man, did you come up with that? Because that's brilliant.
Did you come up with it? She's like, with what?
Yeah, never mind. Go back to eating your hamburger. Listen to them all laughing. Roger came
she
up with
yes,
that.
Yes, she did.
Yeah. That's a Roger thing. I guarantee you Roger came up with that. Okay, well, guys, so hey, what else am I supposed to be doing, Pastor AJ? What am I supposed to be doing? I know I have a job.
Hey, guys, as you know, how we end all of these sessions is we always prepare a special bundle for all you guys. And it's not just, again, this is a resource for you guys, but as you get this resource, it's also saving little boys and little girls out of human trafficking, and not only that, but building houses everywhere we go and orphanages and doing these things. So guys, do us a favor, get your phone and call 877-413-0888.
And again, what do we do with that money, bro? I forgot what we do with that money. What is that?
Bro, all we do with it is mission work. It's being the hands and feet of Jesus Christ, literally.
Right on.
Literally saving little boys out of human trafficking, building houses, building orphanages, buying wheelchairs, doing it all, man.
I love y'all so much, man. Thank y'all so much for joining me. I'm so glad that you guys are in this journey with me. Pastor AJ, I love you, man.
I love you too, Pastor Troy, man.
I call you guys a head, not the tail, above and not beneath, and highly favored of the Lord.